Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. I'm Olivia Hemstrott. This week's special offer is a three-part series titled Our Faith, the Holy Ghost, and Speaking Words. Simply go online at mhgs.org to download. All messages are brought to you, free of charge, by the members of the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society and the partners of Andrew Hemstrott Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
Right? Give, and it shall be given unto you. What? The same that you gave shall come back to you. Is that what it said? No. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Is that good? So if you have a Bible, and you would turn with me to Galatians, and we'll build up our faith a little bit here before we give, right?
Yes.
As I get, you should give in faith. You should give believing.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You should do everything you do in faith. The just shall live by faith. So Galatians chapter 3. And let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today, and I worship you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the opportunity to give. We worship you with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Galatians chapter 3, and then let's look at verse 6. You there?
Yes.
Galatians 3, 6. Even as Abraham, what?
Believed
God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was accounted to Abraham for righteousness? Believing God. Not disbelieving God or questioning God, but believing him was accounted to him for righteousness. Say accounted to him.
Accounted to him.
You ever have an accountant? Are they accounting things to one side or the other, right? That's what accountants do. So it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. You know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
So if you're of faith, that qualifies you to the same blessing that Abraham has. Say the same blessing.
The same blessing.
Because the blessing was to Abraham and his seed. You understand that, right? Those that are of faith are the same. The same are the children of Abraham. Let's read on. Verse 8. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed. Is there a blessing in being of faith?
Yes.
Is there not a blessing in not being in faith?
Mm-hmm.
See, you've got to be in faith to have the blessing. The blessing isn't automatic. The blessing will come on you, but you got to be in faith. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Is there a benefit of being in faith? Yeah. Yes. The blessing is the benefit. So, they that be of faith are blessed. Say that. They that be of faith are blessed. Now, it's the same blessing that was on Abraham. And is that a big deal? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a big deal. Let's look at verse, we read 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on. Say, might come on.
Might come on.
Now, who's it going to come on? You, if you're in faith. Mm-hmm. Right? So you got to believe it. That's right. The blessing is activated by faith and obedience. Mm-hmm. Right? But the blessing isn't automatic. It requires obedience and faith. Can you see that?
Yes.
But if you're in faith, then the blessing is on you. That's how it's activated. That's how it works for you. So it says here that it might come on. Now Deuteronomy 28:2 says all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. Mm-hmm. Right? If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, once again, obedience and faith. So the blessing might come on you. It isn't automatic. You need to protect the blessing above all things. Why? Because it's the blessing that makes you something. You understand? It's not you, it's the blessing. Go to Proverbs 10. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10. Glory be to God forever. Proverbs chapter 10, and let's look at verse 22. What's that say? You've read that before.
Yes.
The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. What makes you rich?
The blessing.
The blessing on you is what makes you rich, according to the word. Are you here? The blessing of the Lord on you, it makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It makes you. Ever heard of the Godfather? They take him and they make him something. He becomes the Godfather, mm-hmm. right? They made him that. The blessing makes you something that you weren't before. Doesn't mean you couldn't have money, but a lot of people that have money aren't blessed. Because the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it.
That's right.
Are you here?
Yes.
The world's wealth, they may have what looks like riches, but there's a lot of sorrow that comes along with it. The word talks about that. So anyway, the blessing, it makes you rich. So does it matter whether the blessing is on you and whether you agree with the blessing and whether you put the blessing first and whether you respect the blessing, or does it matter if you just forget about it? They that be of faith are blessed. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you continue and protect the blessing above all things, what is the blessing? The blessing comes on you because of your obedience and faith to God. Go to Genesis chapter 37. Are you here?
Yes.
Genesis chapter 37. Now, the blessing will be, say the blessing.
The blessing.
The blessing on you is what makes you. Say that. The blessing,
the blessing.
On me is what makes me. If the blessing's not on you, you're not made into what you're supposed to be. Do you understand? But if the blessing is on you, it makes you something.
Yes.
Genesis 37. Let's see here. Let's go to verse 28. We're talking about Joseph here. You know the story. Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. Why was Joseph in a pit? His brothers were envious of him. They wanted to get rid of him. Yep, they wanted to shut him up. They were gonna kill him, and then they said, oh, well, why don't we just sell him instead? Are you here?
Yes.
Doesn't sound like the blessing to me, does it?
No.
But as we're gonna see here, he was blessed even though his circumstances didn't look like it, and because he held to the blessing, it ended up making him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not what he was, what he was doing got him into a pit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there passed by the Midianites merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So how much was Joseph worth right now? 20 pieces of silver. Actually worth that, because that's what he was sold for.
Uh-huh.
That's how you know the value of something. It's what it's worth for on the market.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's it. But was that all that was to Joseph?
No,
he had the blessing on him, right? So here he was, they for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And his brothers thought, well, that's it for him. Well, let's look over at verse at chapter 39. You there? Genesis chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, what?
Bought
him. This doesn't sound like prosperity either. He was sold, and now he's been bought. He's a slave. Say a slave.
A slave.
Now, in our estimation, somebody that's a slave is not a prosperous person.
No.
Are you here?
Right.
Are you? If you're a slave, no. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, and they probably made a little profit there, which had been brought him down thither. Verse 2, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what?
Prosperous
man. See, the Lord with Joseph made him a prosperous man, but he's still a slave. So someone, is it possible, just let me ask you this, is could their situation look like they're nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's happening for them. They're a slave, for goodness sakes. And yet they're still a prosperous person. Why would that be? Because the blessing is still on him, and they're holding on to the blessing. And the blessing is what made them rich. So it says he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Are you seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
What made Joseph a prosperous man? The blessing of the Lord that was with him. Even though he was a slave, the blessing made him rich. And we can read on here. It says, Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hands.
Amen.
Why? Because he was blessed even as a slave. Anyway, so if you have a tithe or an offering, hold it in your hand. Say this, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
I worship you.
With my tithes
and offerings, and I thank you
that
I am blessed, and the blessing is on me
and
makes me
rich,
makes me
prosperous,
and is unstoppable in doing so. I thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
See you, yet I can feel you.
they've got you near me. Now what do I do? I have sought your face, and now you have come so near. I still can't see you, yet I can feel you. I love you, Lord, your glory is thick in here.
Find it. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, to worship you, thank you that you are God in the earth today. I ask your blessing upon these people, upon the hearing of your word and the speaking of your word. I thank you that you're talking to them right now, that they may know you as God, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there you go. So 2 Peter chapter 1, anything underlined here? 2 Peter chapter 1, let's look at verse 20. We'll get right to it. We're going to be talking about knowing the Holy Ghost as God. You know, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by saying words. Well, I don't like it that way. Well, then you need to be in some other dispensation, because that's the way it is in our day and age. Are you here? Oh, that sounds crazy to me. No, well, that's the reality of it. Now what we need to do is get you there. Mm-hmm. Say, get me there.
Get me there.
There's a lot of people who aren't there. Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, mm-hmm. and you walk with him by saying words. We need to get people here. And I've been thinking about this, you know, I've been preaching this message of the Holy Ghost being God in the earth today and walking with him by saying words and worshiping the Holy Ghost for several years now. And you would think in the natural, you go, years? Well, come on, what's going on? What's wrong with you? You know, there's been plenty of times in the past where it took years and years to get a message to come to the forefront, and then all of a sudden it was there. And people say, oh, it seemed like it happened overnight. Well, it was the longest overnight you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Well, what are you not going to preach what God wanted to bring into the earth? Right? How about Noah, for instance? It took him years and years and years to build that craft. Plenty of other things, you know, our timing is not God's timing. But listen, God has a place and a time and a way, and you just need to stay hooked up, because it shall be great. Are you happy about it?
Yes.
I'm happy about it, so I'm not going to be discouraged because it seems like, whoa, because we know, I hear people online and I see it starting to take effect, and people are starting to catch the message. You'd think after 2,000 years they would have got it by now. Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. But at the same time, you had the devil and all these religious people trying to squelch it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But we're in that last day, and this is happening now. Say, it's happening now.
It's happening now.
And I'm excited about it. So anyway, 2 Peter, did you find it?
Yes.
Chapter 1, did you find that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's right in the beginning of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, knowing this second, wait a minute, knowing this third, what does it say?
Third.
Knowing this first. You think God is big on first things?
Yes.
Yeah, because if you don't know this, you can't know other things. And if you didn't start out at the beginning, you're going to end up at the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Right? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, what is that? Well, that's that what you're holding in your hand. The prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Know this first. Verse 21, for the prophecy came for, right? He said, know this first, for, he's going to tell you why, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, meaning man came up with it. This is a good idea. No. By the will of man, but holy men of God spake, say spake.
Spake.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by The Holy Ghost. You got to know this first. What are we knowing first here, at least today, fellows, is that the scriptures were spoken by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what those scriptures just said?
Yes.
You got to know this first. So when I read verses of scripture, who spoke them?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. So if I'm reading the scripture and it applies, does the scripture apply to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Who's speaking to you?
The Holy Ghost.
Because he's the one who said them.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you open the Bible and read something, you know, and oh, it speaks to you. Who just spoke to you?
Holy Ghost.
You should know this first. Does everybody know that first?
No,
no, they're thinking something else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you already know a lot of my message here, but this will be a massive revelation to some people. Go to 2 Timothy. Right after 1 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
2 Timothy chapter 3. And then what? Verse 16. Remember, we've got to know this first. We're talking about knowing the Holy Ghost. What do we know about the scriptures? They were spoken by the Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
Did I make that up? No. Scriptures were spoken by. So here we go, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture. How much scripture?
All
scripture is given by inspiration of God. We just read that, right? Of God. God, who do you suppose?
God
the Holy Ghost, because it specifically said that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, that the man profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes.
It said the Holy Ghost spake the scriptures, and here it says they were given by inspiration of God. God who? God the Holy Ghost. Is this too difficult?
No.
And it would be good, because we're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. So the one who spoke the scriptures is actually in the earth right now in our day and age. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So the first way to know the Holy Ghost, and we're probably going to go through several things here, but knowing the Holy Ghost as God, as the author of the scriptures. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So when I open the Bible and I read it, he's speaking to me. Now you're in 2 Timothy, right? Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. What verse are we going to read?
17.
Very good. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Who's he speaking to? Who's he speaking to?
Me.
You. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, according to what I just said, who's speaking to you right now?
The Holy
Ghost. God in the earth today. He says, trust not in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God. Who? Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
The living God who? Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
The living God who? Well, who's the living God?
The Holy Ghost.
He's the Holy Ghost. But here he's going to tell you who he is. He describes it. He says, the living God who?
Mm-hmm.
You can even put a question mark there. Who? The living God who? Gives us richly all things to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Who's this talking about? It's talking about the living God. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
The Bible specifically calls the Holy Ghost the living God. You're the, what? No, you're not. Your body is the temple of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So here's the Holy Ghost in his scriptures talking about himself. He's speaking to you through this verse of scripture, and he's revealing himself. Say, revealing himself.
Revealing himself.
He's revealing himself to you through this verse of scripture. And what does he say he is? Who gives you richly all things to enjoy? Do you know the living God as God who gives you richly all things to enjoy. He's revealing himself to you.
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
Is this any good?
Yes.
Does it matter that we know it's the Holy Ghost who's revealing himself to you?
Yes.
Yes, it does. So he's the author. He wrote these words. He spoke these words to reveal himself to you. He's revealing himself through these verses of scripture, and you can know him as whatever the verse of scripture says. This one just particularly talks about him providing you with all things for your enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Would it be good to know him as that?
Yes.
But first you got to know him that he's the one who wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right, so I won't go through all of these. We might end up doing these in the future, but the Holy Ghost, he's revealing himself. Can you see that?
Yes.
Through the scriptures, when he talks about God, he's talking about himself, and he's revealing himself. John 14:26, you don't have to turn there. It says he teaches. Who teaches? The Holy Ghost teaches. When he is come, he will teach you all things. We're talking about knowing the Holy Ghost. John 14:26 is a scripture. It's saying that he does these things. Are you here?
Yes.
When he is come, he shall teach you all things. He leads you. Who leads you?
The Holy Ghost
leads you. Romans 8:14 says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. The scripture, he spoke the scriptures, and he's talking about himself. He's revealing himself to you through the scriptures. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So I said he teaches, right? Teaches you all things. He leads you. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. He speaks. Acts chapter 13. Let's just look at that one real quick. People need to see this one. Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Say fasted.
Fasted.
That's not a very exciting word in the body of Christ, but it's in there. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the who said? The Holy Ghost said. Now I know that there's prevalent in most of the body of Christ, there's this doctrine and idea that the Holy Ghost won't say anything about himself and he won't speak of himself. I'll deal with that in just a second. But that is ludicrous based on all the things that I've just said. All scripture given by him, and he's speaking, he's revealing himself to you. Revealing who? The Holy Ghost, the living God, God in the earth today. And here it says, and the Holy Ghost said, separate who? Me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Well, if the Holy Ghost doesn't, he just spoke of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? He's talking about himself. He's saying, hey, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Say, I have called them. If you said those words, that string of words, I have called them, you would be talking about yourself.
Yes.
You did something. You talked about yourself. Oh, so that verse, that other verse of scripture can't possibly mean that the Holy Ghost doesn't talk about himself. You understand this?
Yes.
I'll take you there in a second. Let's continue on here. He speaks. He does speak. You understand? We see him speaking here. Separate me. Who? The Holy Ghost, the person of God, the Holy Ghost in the earth, speaks. He empowers. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you don't have to turn there, it says you shall receive power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm just talking about the Holy Ghost and saying all the things that we know through the scriptures that he does, and he obviously spoke about himself because he's the one who gave you the scriptures. He teaches, he leads, he speaks, he empowers. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. By who? The Holy Ghost. He anoints. Luke 4:18 said, he hath anointed me. Jesus said that about the Holy Ghost. He empowers, he anoints, he quickens. Say he quickens.
He quickens.
Quickens means he makes alive. Are these good things to know about God, the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about knowing the Holy Ghost. So Romans 8:11 says it's the Spirit that dwells in you, and if his Spirit dwells in you, he shall quicken, make alive or renew the youth of your physical body. Who does this? Holy Ghost. Would it be good to know him?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. Where do we get these wacky ideas from? Just reading chapter and verse. Where do we get these chapters and verses from? The Holy Ghost spake them.
Yes.
And he's revealing himself through them to us, speaking to us. Are you getting any of this? So in all of this, in all these scriptures and more, he is speaking.
Yes.
Here's one. Go to 1 Corinthians. Like I said, we'll see how far we can go with this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Know this first. No prophecy of the scriptures, any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they spake what the Holy Ghost wanted them to say. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual things or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Who's saying this? The Holy Ghost. He's saying, I don't want you ignorant. And then he goes on and he says thing after thing after line about what the Holy Ghost does. He's speaking about himself, right? And then look at verse 11. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Who's God in the earth today?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. I think you're getting this. So all these worketh that one and self same. He's a self, right?
Yes.
So in John 16:13, we'll just cover this real quick. I hope that by now all of those things that I said should tell you that the Holy Ghost does not only speak of himself, he reveals himself to you so you can know him as God. Are you getting this? So John chapter 16, let's look at verse 13. Howbeit when he, say he. Howbeit when he, what's a he?
That's a person.
Is a person. He, the person, the Spirit of truth. Now this person is the Spirit of truth. What does that mean? If I asked you what somebody was, if they and you said they were the Spirit of truth, would I assume that they could tell a lie?
No.
Could they say anything other than the truth?
No,
because they're called the Spirit of truth.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, that's exactly what Jesus was saying here. He said, well, howbeit when he, person, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak of himself. What? That makes no sense. If that's the true definition of this word, of this scripture, then all of the things I just said about the Holy Ghost talking about himself couldn't be true. But they are. He shall not speak off himself. It should be, or away from himself. And that very Greek word is translated away from in many other things. Now think of it. He's the Spirit of truth. He can't speak anything but the truth. He can't speak away from the truth himself.
Yes.
You know, you swear on the Bible, I'll tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So help me God, the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
That's what it's talking about here. And whatsoever he shall hear, what he'll hear, he'll speak truth, and he will show you things to come. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this up only because whenever you start talking about the Holy Ghost revealing himself and speaking about himself, this verse of scripture comes up.
Yes.
I don't know, it's done it to me 1,000 times. You know, what about that? It's a like immediate knee-jerk reaction from the devil.
Yep.
And from religious tradition, because it's been preached like that for eons. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately that verse of scripture is translated into, you shouldn't worship the Holy Ghost and you shouldn't pay any attention to him because he doesn't speak of himself. You see what's going on here though?
Yeah.
It's immediately the devil's trying to take it and flip it so that you can't have a relationship with the living God, who's God in the earth today. And when you say you should worship the Holy Ghost, this verse of scripture, are you here? Comes up in your own head, comes up, why? Because we've been religiously taught that wrongly, and frankly I say it's evil. Why do you say it's evil? Because it's anti-Holy Ghost. Right? What's one of the worst sins? Sinning against the Holy Ghost. Anyway. But this I'll say right here. Even if this verse of scripture, even if it did say that and it did mean that he won't speak of himself, which is ludicrous, it doesn't mean you shouldn't worship him, and it doesn't mean he isn't God. That's what I'm showing. I mean, the devil's arguments are so retarded. Think of that. You're going, I'm gonna start worshiping the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, he doesn't speak of himself. Even if he doesn't speak of himself, he's still God and he still should be worshiped. And I tell you, if you continue, listen, if you continue to worship God the Holy Ghost, he will remove all of those things. He will reveal the truth to you. He'll remove all of those old religious things. So, but he is speaking of himself. Am I getting this across at all? Go to Revelations. That's easy to find. It's right in the back. How many of you know where Revelations is? Go to the second last book of the Bible and continue on. Revelation. Chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, mind you, this is a vision of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Should that be a pretty profound revelation?
Yes.
Shouldn't his words carry a little bit of weight? Yeah, they're in red in my Bible, in fact. Right? So in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, let's look at verse 7. Jesus is saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Jesus wasn't even saying it. He was saying, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Do you know why? Because it's not Jesus's dispensation now. The authority is to the Holy Ghost dispensation, so he has the Holy Ghost speaking to the churches. Oh, but he doesn't speak. Are you seeing how ridiculous that is?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the book of chapter 2 verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Look at down at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I the Lord Jesus am saying to the churches.
No.
Is that what he said?
No,
he said he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Is this getting old yet? Go to verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So you can see why it's such a big deal for the devil to try to say it, the Holy Ghost isn't speaking about himself, right? Goes on in chapter 3 many other times. So this is where we should be beginning. Remember I said first, say first, you got to understand the scriptures were by the Holy Ghost speaking. So when I read a verse of scripture, I have to first, is this getting across? I have to first know that it's the Holy Ghost speaking to me. And Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Ghost is speaking to him. And that's how I get to know him, is by him speaking to me. Are you getting this? This should be the beginning. You know, and I pray about things like this. I say, God, show me the beginning, because if you don't have the beginning right, you will not end up at the right place. And the problem is, we've got so many in the body of Christ who have begun in the wrong place, and they're going to end up in the wrong place. Not that they're going to go to hell, right? Mm-hmm. But it's that they're not going to be able to complete what we're called to complete in the earth. Amen. With the Spirit of God. So I ask God for the beginning. Show me the beginning. So many people try to begin somewhere else. You got to begin at the beginning. First, know the Holy Ghost is talking to you. Say first.
First.
The beginning.
The beginning.
You know, and so many people, especially people that, you know, think they're filled with the Holy Ghost and whatnot, they think they're so advanced from everybody else. But when you go back to the beginning, they're like, they have no beginning. So would it be good to begin at the beginning? We're talking about knowing the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now, I hope you get some of this stuff. Go to Acts chapter 2. Irrefutable evidence of the things that I've been preaching on, and I'm going to continue to preach on. Is the Holy Ghost God in the earth today a good topic to preach on? Is it a good thing to have your ministry built on? Yes. I would think so. He's God in the earth today. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2, talking about where's the beginning. The beginning. Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all, are you here? Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Where's the beginning? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Mm-hmm. Now, if everybody's up to they're going to run a race, and I say, and begin, right? They're all up to the line. Where does this say they began? It's in your Bible.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like to read it that way. I like to read right through that into the other verses. Well, so do I. But here it is. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Mm-hmm. When did they begin? Oh, I think you're making this too simplistic. It is simplistic. You're making it too complicated. Where do we begin? We begin with receiving the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today. Oh, I don't like it that way. I believe it some other way. I'm telling you the scriptures, all right? Mm-hmm. Where does it begin? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Yes, I know it says, and they began to speak with other tongues. The speaking is part of the beginning, but it says began. Are you here?
Yes.
Let's see where Peter said the beginning was. Go to Acts chapter 11. We're talking about knowing the Holy Ghost. Where's the beginning of knowing the Holy Ghost? Well, you got to know that he's speaking the scriptures to you. But then Acts chapter 11, where did Peter say the beginning was? Acts chapter 11 verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the mid portion. Is that what it said? No, as on us at the beginning. Peter called them being filled with the Holy Ghost the beginning. What was it the beginning of? You know this. The beginning of the Holy Ghost dispensation. That's what he's talking about. When did it begin? It began when the Holy Ghost came into the earth. What was the beginning? That was the beginning. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began. Here Peter said, are you getting this?
Yes.
Glory be to God forever. He said, verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Peter called it the beginning. Receiving the Holy Ghost. was the beginning. Oh, I don't like it that way. How, where did Jesus say the beginning was? Let's go to you're in Acts, right? Go back a book to John. Flip back a few pages there. John chapter 20. This is the Lord Jesus after he was raised from the dead. You still here? Verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye me into your heart. No. Is that what he said?
No,
he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And like I've said many times before, there isn't a commentator that I've found yet in Christian circles who wouldn't say this is the first instance of them being born again. They didn't receive Jesus. He was raised from the dead. He was standing right in front of them. They what? They received the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? And he worked in them the new birth. Obviously, he wasn't given yet because the day of Pentecost hadn't come. Are you here?
Yes.
But where, my point here, lest you run roughshod off into some distant place, my point is the beginning is the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this?
Yes.
You must begin with the knowledge that he's the one speaking, and we begin with receiving him. Right? Acts chapter 2 verse 4, we just read that. It said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, if they were filled, they must have received him.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be filled with someone that you didn't receive. The beginning was them receiving the Holy Ghost. In fact, Acts chapter 1 4 says Jesus commanded them, don't go anywhere or do anything until the Holy Ghost comes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have plenty of people just going without the Holy Ghost. And even if they go with the Holy Ghost, they say he doesn't speak about himself.
Okay.
So, who did Peter call the beginning? The Holy Ghost. Who did Jesus call the beginning? The Holy Ghost. Let's see who Paul calls the beginning. Brother, you're still on the beginning. I know, I want to see how far we can go today. Galatians chapter 3. Because people have a problem with me saying you must begin with the Holy Ghost and acknowledging him as God. Can you see how that, even if I say that, how that kind of messes with your traditional thinking? What did Jesus say? Raised from the dead, Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Say, Jesus was raised from the dead and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he said, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Looks like if anybody's not speaking about himself, it was Jesus. Oh, people love me online, I can tell you right now. Glory be to God. So Paul, did I tell you Galatians, right?
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Who's the spirit of truth? If you're going to obey the truth, who are you obeying? The spirit of truth. If you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit. Say, received ye the Spirit.
Received ye the Spirit.
He's saying, this only would I learn of you. Only. Mm-hmm. Received ye the Spirit. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
By the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Where did you begin? Where should you have begun? In the Spirit. Spirit who? Holy Ghost. Received ye the Spirit, verse 2, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Or the Amplified says, by dependence on the flesh. No, you're made perfect by continuing to depend on and move along with and walk with the Spirit, who is the Holy Ghost. You began with the Spirit and you're going to end up with the Spirit. Are you here?
Yes.
That's too simple. It may be too simple, but it's the truth. Amen. Doesn't need to be complex or difficult. So, like I said, if you didn't begin the right way, there's no possible way you're going to end up the right way. Oh, and I hear it so often in the tone and in the words of even preachers that I like, that they get so far down the road with their doctrine and they're missing it because they don't acknowledge the one who is the one doing all things, the Holy Ghost. And it's just gonna hinder them in the long run. Anyway, are you hearing this? So what did Paul call the beginning? Received ye the Spirit, having begun in the Spirit. Are you made perfect by dependence on the flesh or by dependence on something else? No, you're gonna be made perfect, meaning you're gonna continue on by knowing the Holy Ghost, knowing the Spirit. That's who the Spirit is, the Holy Ghost. Learning about him, say learning about him.
Learning about him.
Walking with him.
Walking with him.
Right? He's God in the earth today. Now, most of you know that when you do receive the Holy Ghost, at least in the methods that we understand, we receive the Holy Ghost, we begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Right? Speaking in tongues should lead to worshiping the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, if it weren't for some terrible doctrine drilled into the body of Christ. Are you getting any of this? Speaking in tongues should lead to the acknowledgement of the one that's who gives you the words when you speak in other tongues. You speak as he gives you utterance. He who?
The Holy Ghost.
He the Holy Ghost. Is he God?
Yes.
Is he a person?
Mm-hmm.
Is he teaching you?
Yes.
Is he leading you?
Yes.
Is he anointing you?
Yes.
Is he guiding you? Is he quickening you? He is God in the earth today, and speaking in tongues should lead you to worship him and know him if you didn't have some wacky religious doctrine telling you that you shouldn't worship him. And all you got to do is sit there and listen to when I say the words, worship the Holy Ghost. And if that bothers you, then you've got some kind of doctrine in there that needs to be ripped out. 99.9% of believers have that doctrine in there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? And sometimes it takes a long time to rip out. Why? Because it's been rooted in there. If you had a big giant tree out in the, you know, oak tree or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Been growing there for 3,000 years. Well, not that long, but you know, even if it was for 100 years, 100-year-old tree, is it easy to get out?
No.
No. What if you tore it down? Is it gonna make a big open space? You'd be like missing something. Everything looks different now because you ripped out that thing that was in there all the time. Telling you. Is this any good? Mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues should lead to and would lead to worshiping the Holy Ghost and knowing him as God if it were not for evil religious help. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Should you worship God?
Yes.
Who is God?
The Holy Ghost.
Who wrote the scriptures?
The Holy Ghost.
Who's talking to you when you read the scriptures?
The Holy Ghost.
Should you worship the God of the scriptures?
Yes.
See, if I phrase it different way, should you worship the living God? Yes, you should. Should you worship the God of the scriptures? Oh, of course. But if I say you should worship the Holy Ghost, they're like, he doesn't speak of himself. Are you here?
Uh-huh.
Is this fun yet? I don't know. Maybe it is. Where were we? Galatians, go to Ephesians. We're getting farther than I thought we might. You all right with that?
Yes.
You have anywhere to be?
Nope.
The next 10 minutes? Ephesians chapter 5. Whoo, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God forever. Is this any good?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just having fun with it. See, what's exciting about it is if you've been worshiping the Holy Ghost and you know that he talks to you through the scriptures and that he's God. Mm-hmm. This is actually good news. Anyway, so Ephesians chapter 5. Did you find it yet?
Yep.
I wish we knew what the will of God is. We've been talking about knowing the Holy Ghost and we've been talking about the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. You got to go to the beginning if you want to start. And you want to end up at the right place. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. How about that? Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Well, let me ask you a question. Who would be writing this and speaking to you right now? This verse of scripture. Holy Ghost. Does he want you unwise? He says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? Be ye not drunk with wine. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Be ye not drunk with wine. Yeah, but we can drink a little bit. Be ye not drunk with wine. Are you here?
Yeah.
Could you preach on that for a while? Mm-hmm. Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit speaking. Mm-hmm. I like to continue right on there. What's God's will? That you be filled with the Spirit. We began, where was the beginning? Where was the beginning? We began with the Spirit, and then his will is, don't be unwise or drunk. Don't be unwise, be wise. Know what the will of the Lord is. So where are we going here? We're going to be filled with the Spirit. Are you still here? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit speaking. How are you filled with the Spirit?
Speaking.
Now, if you know that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, are you there yet?
Yes.
What's his will? That you be filled with him, filled with his purpose, filled with his plan, filled with him. Speaking. People have a problem with me saying, oh, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by speaking. Do you see what's going on here? Knowing the Holy Ghost and speaking is his will. It's his plan. It's how we go from the beginning to the end. We just get better at it, and we get more filled with him and more speaking his words more accurately. Is this making any sense?
Yes.
So if you know the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today and you're speaking his words in other tongues or in agreement with his word, you are on the right path. Is this good news?
Yes.
Am I preaching the good news?
Yes.
Am I preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Yes, the kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and I walk with him by speaking words. I'm on the right path. It'll keep me on the right path, and I will get to the right destination because I began at the right place, and I'm going to keep going in this direction.
Yes.
Are you here? So the Holy Ghost told me to tell you this. You have begun. You know, sometimes you think, you go, Have I even started this? And where am I on this journey that I... You have begun. If you know the Holy Ghost is God and you speak with him, you have begun. Where did Jesus say the beginning was? Holy Ghost. Paul said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. The Bible, which is the Holy Ghost, said the same thing. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Here it says again, let's read it one more time, maybe it'll make more better, it'll go across better this time. And what, therefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will or the plan of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Speaking. What's the plan of God for you? Speaking. To be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Yes. Say, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking. What's God's will for you? To be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Where should you begin? Being filled with the Spirit, speaking. Where's His will for you halfway through? To be filled with the Spirit, speaking. Are you getting this? That's His will for you. And if you've done that, you have begun. Now, if you got 5 more minutes, let's see where we can go to here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I want to just sort of point out a direction where this is leading to. Well, just, you know, because you get filled with the Spirit and you speak things and then that's it, and then you die and go to heaven. No, God has a plan. There's more in the will than just the beginning. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8. And then we see in verse 26. Should be very familiar verses of scripture. I won't expound all of this. I've done this many times before. Romans chapter 8 verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for or say for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. What's another good way of saying that? Speaks for us, says things on our behalf. Yes. Right. Says things on our behalf with groanings, that which could not be uttered, or groanings or words that we could not say by ourselves. Mm-hmm. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he speaks words for the saints in accordance to the will of God. We all know that this is talking about speaking in other tongues, right?
Right.
Filled with the Spirit, speaking again. If we do that, verse 28 becomes something that we can obtain to. Verse 28, and we know that all things, say all things.
All things.
All things work together. What things is he talking about? I'm going to show you in a minute, but it means all things, literally all of creation. Mm-hmm. Working for you. It says working together for them, for good for them that love God. So who's that? That's you. Mm-hmm. All things working for you. Say that. All things working for me. When you receive the Holy Ghost and speak as he gives you utterance, you get to a place where all things work together for you. Where's God taking you? There. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 21. Same chapter, Romans 8:21. We're talking about where we're going. Because the creature itself, or creation itself, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. How does that happen? By us speaking. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Just pointing where we're going here. Mm-hmm. Remember, it said all things are going to work together for you. They're going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Say everything,
everything
is going
to work for me.
Who does this happen for? The children of God. This is where we're going. Verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creature or creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? The creation is waiting for you. It's waiting to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's waiting to work for you? All creation is waiting to work for you. Remember Adam and Eve in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Creation worked for them. Anyway, creation earnestly expects you. It's waiting in anticipation for you to be manifest. Where do you think we're going with this? To be manifest as the sons of God in the earth. If you don't like me now, can you imagine that? How's that gonna happen? Are you gonna be able to get there if you're on the wrong path or if you began the wrong way? The only way to get there is with the Holy Ghost, and remember, speaking with him. Verse 28 is actually that happening, and we know that all things work together for good. Same thing, same chapters, the same things he's talking about. All creation working together for you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I understand. It's probably, I'm just pointing where we're going with this. Do you understand? We're beginning with the Holy Ghost, knowing him as God. First and foremost, that he's speaking to us. What are these verses? Who's speaking to us through these verses of scripture? The Holy Ghost. So when he says the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, who's saying that? Holy Ghost, who's he saying it to? You. Who's he waiting for? You. Are you getting this? Where are we supposed to go? Here. There is nothing there in heaven. Are you here? There's nothing there in heaven that you can't live in here and now. That's foreign to many people, and there's no way you can get there without the Holy Ghost, but we're not without the Holy Ghost. Are you here? There is nothing there in heaven that you can't live in here. You still in chapter 8? Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the what? First fruits of the Spirit. Are you here? If you don't know the Holy Ghost, then this isn't for you. If you don't know the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, then you can't have this. You can't go there. Do you understand? That's why the revelation, please listen, the revelation of the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today is integral into fulfilling and completing everything that the body of Christ has to get accomplished in the earth before the Lord Jesus, who isn't here, can return. And until we receive him as the one who he is, God in the earth today, in his full authority and capacity, we can't go there. So shape up, receive him, and continue to go on and speak with him, and he'll change you from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Let me pray for you, Holy Ghost. I thank you that these people are blessed and that these words are working in them mightily, and great things shall happen, says the Spirit of the Lord, as you yield to me and I'm able to change your thinking from glory to glory and dig you out of those religious concepts and place you into my freedom and my liberty, where I can manifest myself to you and through you in the earth. In Jesus' name we thank you for it, Holy Ghost.
Struck God.